It's St. Patrick's Day. It's New York.
When I came into New York Harbor and I saw the skyline and I saw the Statue of Liberty, I got such a rush. I had never, before, the first time I saw Gugan Barra in Cork, you know, it was the same thing. It was like a shock. It just went right through you. It was so beautiful, you know. Yeah. But with New York, it was more like excitement.
I landed in New York August 13, 1929.
The year of the Wall Street crash.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. I had nothing to lose.
And the Carinthia, Cunard Line. Oh, it was something to see the Statue of Liberty.
I'm telling you.
This is it. It was. And the sights coming in the harbour there and looking at the big buildings. But it was. It was a lovely sight.
This is the story of five Irish emigrants who are citizens of New York City.
My name is Joe Cunningham. For me, my age is good to meet anybody.
My name is Julia Doyle, and I come from County Kilkenny. And I'm here since 1951.
Hey, Jesus.
Hey, Martin, how are
that's
you?
That's an awful looking animal. Not too bad.
It's a lovely Saturday in Woodlawn here, isn't it?
Well, the weather is nice and dry.
My name is Ali Moran, and I'm from Cork City. And I'm Julia's neighbour across the hall. Yeah. And we live in the same building, on the same floor.
Same floor. We share the same.
We always call each other on the phone, like we... Yeah. But if we opened the doors, we could talk too, but... We end up talking on the phone.
Good morning.
Oh,
how are you?
Maggots.
How are you doing?
Maggots.
This is Joe.
My watch gave up after all those years, and it was a set.
He's 98 and he's driving.
And what else gave up? My watch gave up. Heater gave out. The watch gave up. And my hearing aid. Conked out after 5 years. So I'll be the next.
Joe is showing me around Woodlawn in New York.
You have the Rory Dolans, right?
Yeah, very famous.
Well,
yeah.
That's the Ramley House. He owns that too. He's from my cavern. That's the aging centre.
That's the Aisling Irish Community
Centre. We'll be coming there. I think that's something going on all the time there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What avenue is this now?
This is McLean.
Another Irish avenue.
You're going into a house now that's really not a home, it's a museum. And there's nobody there but the two of us. We're a wonderful family, they're all out doing their own thing.
This lady needs to turn.
And.
Luckily, the traffic is light.
I think the lady needs to turn.
Nobody to do anything in the house. My wife has dementia, you know what that is? It's related to Alzheimer's, and the dictionary gives a definition of that as a deterioration of intelligence. And she has about the intelligence or the memory of a 6-year-old child. But every once in a while, she becomes very normal, especially if you talk about Dunkirk.
Joe emigrated to New York from Cushing, County Clare. His wife, Rose, from Drumcarran in Leitrim.
What street are we on?
This is Brock's River Road. Yeah. Good.
Joe, which is your better ear? Which is your better ear? Which is your better ear?
Oh, this one. This one.
I'll aim to that one, okay?
Yeah, well, we'll work that out. 6 sheets. Hand me right with you. A ham sandwich?
Oh, no, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Huh?
Yeah,
you
I'm
don't
fine.
Want a ham sandwich?
No, I'm grand. Thank you.
I remember being at the half door. Somebody passed by outside and he shouted in,
Michael Collins just got shot. I can still hear that today. Little do we know what a wonderful man Michael Collins was. But that's politics.
Tell me about the journey, the boat.
I enjoyed it because I wasn't sick. The only knowledge I had was the 5 mile circumference around where I was born. But then I didn't like their tea, I didn't like their coffee, I never had coffee before. They used to give me milk, I loved the milk. But then the next day I got milk again the next day, and I wondered, how could they have milk? So I searched the boat looking for the cows. This is absolutely true. He's got over. I figured that's the only way I could get milk.
How old were you then, Joe?
17.
This is Joe's wife, Rose.
My mother came from Drumshambo. Drumshambo is the back of the old cow. You know that drum is back and Gaelic. Sham is old, and bow is a cow, back of the old cow. Yeah. we came from Drumcairn. We used to go to Mary Hamilton sometime for fun. I think I came when I was 16. Joe, did I come when I was 16 to New York?
Yeah, 16.
Yeah.
Official, she has 3 birthdays. She used the 20th and the 25th, and then for some legal reason we had to get her birthday from Leitrim. And as she was born on the 14th of March, 1917.
What do you remember about getting the boat? The ship?
Coming on the boat from Ireland. I never heard you talk about it.
I know somebody pushed me on.
This is Julia and Eileen.
My mother had died when I was 14. So then I was little orphan nanny. So my sister came home from England and took me back with her. So I was there 8 years and I came here. I was, what was I, 20? 22? 21? I was early 20s anyway.
Yes. What was your first impression of New York Harbour now, Julia?
I didn't want to get off the boat. It was a wonderful trip.
Yeah.
Wonderful trip. I think it's because I was one of the youngest, and that's not really young. A lot of them took me under their wing, Canadians and people from Chicago coming back from Ireland. And we sort of sat at the same table and nobody got sick. We were having up half the night dancing. It was I was underage. So they would give me some holy water once in a while and to see me through the night. So, but we really did. When I saw the harbour, the reason I felt the way I did is I didn't know what was ahead of me. I had a lot of trepidation, so I wanted to keep on cruising.
Oh, yes, you enjoyed it. Yeah.
Eileen,
yeah.
When did you come to New York?
I came to New York in 1951. Mm. And same year as Julia. And
how did you get here?
I took a plane. It took about 12 hours, and it was a propeller job, you know. I think I was supposed to go by boat first. I had my 16th birthday here in New York. We were sad, even though the excitement was there and everything. But, I hate bringing it up because everyone says, oh, you were so young. But actually, everything went okay.
If we could go to Gaelic Park and...
Okay.
Cool.
I don't know if we can get in, you see.
But I think Gaelic Park is open, if you wouldn't mind.
This is Martin O'Malley. He came to New York in 1957.
Oh. West 240th Street.
Right.
There's the floodlights.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the centre field.
I was 24. I was born at 33. But I was in England for 3 years before I came here. Well, it wasn't that hard. The boat was that was a cruise, is what it was, no doubt. It was beautiful. I met a lot of people on the boat and kept in contact with them afterwards for a while in the dance halls in Manhattan. But it was a cruise. It was a beautiful vacation, 7 days that I never had a vacation like it. Dance hall night and a few jugs of seven and seven. It was nice. It was all young ones like ourselves leaving. They were from every country. There was a lot of them came that time. They were swarming in here. Actually, there was nothing in Ireland. There was nothing there.
When Joe arrived in New York at the age of 17, it was the height of the Great Depression.
In New York at the time, a lot of people were down on their luck.
Oh, yeah, but they all helped each other. They were all happy. Didn't a bottle of milk was 9 cents. Pack of cigarettes was 13. Gallon of gas was about 10 cents or something. And in church you gave a dime. You're glad to get it. And
do you remember Prohibition?
Very well. Very well. They used to have bars, but they had to close them up. So they operated from the basement. They had a door, and there'd be a hole in the door. And you go in there and you say, Jimmy sent me in. They'd open the door. And I used to go there. Later on, they had music. And they'd dance sets all afternoon. And they'd, when the set would be over, they'd drop nickels and dimes on the floor. And when there'd be enough on the floor and there'd be no more coming, he'd pick up the money and start playing for a set, another set. And that's how he got paid.
We had a boarding house, you know, an Irish lady. She was strict, you know.
She had to be with you for the crown.
If you had a boyfriend, she wanted to bring him up and she'd look him over and she'd let you know right away whether if he had a good job, it was okay, you know. Yeah, it's like your grandmother.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was nice. It was good fun, you know. Yeah. I was page girl, that's like a messenger girl, you know, in the bank. So I really loved that job. It was fantastic, you know. You were going all the time, it was busy, you know, but the only thing about banks, they didn't pay good, you know.
Really?
Yes,
they don't pay
at that
all
time.
Now.
Yes, at that time.
And you were lucky.
Yes.
Julia, what about yourself? What were you up to?
I came to Queens, I came to live with my aunt, and there was an opening for some help for the United Nations, and that was new at the time. So a beautiful building on the east side overlooking the water. So I went down for an interview, and almost said to me, don't call here, we'll call you.
Yeah.
You know? So then 4 weeks went by, and I said, enough is enough, I have to get out and work. And I got a job in the supermarket. And then before I knew it, hey, guess who's in the back door? The union guys.
Yeah.
So you have to sign up.
So you have to sign your life away.
I had to sign, I had to join the union. So I joined the union, and maybe 2 weeks later, I got a letter in the mail saying I was accepted at the UN.
What did you do?
Too late. I had joined the union.
Yeah.
And like, so you were stuck in the job then, were you?
Yeah, in the supermarket. I stayed in the supermarket, yeah. Because, you know, maybe it was to be.
Right.
Oh, the band, well, that developed as time went by. Started out with a melodeon under my arm. When they had 28 ballrooms here in New York, there were Mayo Ballrooms, 84th Street and 3rd Avenue. Started once as 38, 138 in Willis Avenue in the Bronx. Sligo was 125th Street and Lexington Avenue. The Galway Hall was 125th and 12th Avenue. Aaron's Isle was in Brooklyn. It was a job, but
Most of the musicians played private parties. They were all four floors of apartments. An Irish party, Christian, whatever it would be, a wedding maybe. A wooden musician sometimes too. And they'd play. In the second floor or the third, people, I come to think of it since. How about the people underneath? The music that we played all waltzes, and you had to play popular music.
Oh, sure, they were great. They were lovely. It was grand to go down there, listen to Irish music and do waltzes and quick steps and all that stuff and met the girls and met whoever and say, well, I'll meet you next week again, so you had an appointment. I'll meet so-and-so in the Jagger House next weekend and I'll meet you in the city centre the following weekend. It was grand. Have a few beers, come home on the subway. You might have to go to Brooklyn to win one a date, but try not to. Find out where she's from first.
Quite in your pocket now.
Yeah.
Bit of crack going on. Dances, boys.
Oh, it was
nightlife.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was mostly dancing and good times and movies. And yeah, for me, it was the first time I had my own money, you know, and managing it was pretty good, you know, and it was great, really. We had, but I got married young. So did you, Julia, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. You got married.
I lived in Queens. I didn't come into New York City as often as... You were living in 96th Street?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were right in the middle of things. Then.
Right, yes, yeah, I know. Yes.
Being a band leader has its advantages.
They hire my band. And during the night, this beautiful girl would come up and ask me for a request. And she asked me, please play the Stacchiobarli. So I didn't want to, I wanted to talk to her. It was gorgeous. I wanted to see if I could talk to her. And I asked her, when do you want the Stacchiobarli? So she said, now, and wheeled around and took off. 3 weeks later, I go into the church. I was a little late, probably out the night before, and had to go all the way down, no seats. Genuflected, get back halfway to the other side, and there was a seat in here. And when the usher came around with the basket, the girl that was in front of me turned halfway around, and that was her brother. She turned a little and asked him if he had money. But he was over here. She asked me if I had money, and I said yes. And she's still asking me for money. And that's how I met Rose. 5 months later, we got married. We had 5 children, and if I got a job, and I'll be home, I'll be home at 2 o'clock. If we get an hour overtime, I'll be home at 3. Rose will be at the bedside of the children, saying the rosary, every one of them. And I'd be always home on time, and that's how that worked.
It's just looking in there, you see the long bar. That's an old original wooden bar, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. Oh, it is, yeah. It was all the way around, it's like a big, a huge horseshoe. Got to be packed 4 deep, 5 deep in there. You just...
The tall stools, you can see the brass pole where people would put their feet.
Put their feet on, right.
Yeah, standing at the bar there, old, dark wood.
Is this where the matches were made?
This is where the matches were made, yes.
And we're not talking football and hurling?
No.
What would the tipple have been at the time, though?
Mostly beer. It was beer. 10 cents a glass. You buy 3 and they give you 1 on the house. So for every 30 cents, you had 4 beers. No for you.
And what about the girdles?
The girls didn't drink then. They drank 7-Up and Coke and stuff like that. But the girls didn't drink at all that time. That means they're better or worse.
No, well, they could see what they were getting.
They stayed sober and watched to see who the drunks were. You went in and you got hamburgers inside here, and they had all grills outside too. And they used to sell beer along the. They'd have beer on ice alongside the.
Watching the game.
Oh, yes, it was grand. It was a lovely afternoon, no doubt.
Well, Gaelic Park was that wonderful games, but all the girls in those days, girls were not interested in ball games. They were there to meet other girls, meet boys or whatever, and it was an Irish party. But now the girls are playing themselves.
I went to Gaelic Park and I loved it. Mm. It was a great place to meet people, you know. Mm. And if somebody was coming out from Ireland, you'd say, well, I'll meet you there, you know, and you would run into the people. It was great fun, and the fellows were plentiful.
Yeah. The more trades you had, the better. If you played football, you were certainly in, because the counties got you jobs. They'd be dying for a good player, so they'd fit you in order to get you to play for them.
They had nicknames in every county. Clare were Biddy Airlies, Cork Bottle Stoppers, Leitrim Slashers, Cavan Far Downs, Roscommon Sheep Sealers.
Joe is bringing me to the Ashling Community Centre in Woodlawn for the Patrick's Day party.
We'll have tea and shortbread. I think there's entertainment there. And I can't think of the guy's name. He's a beautiful accordion player from Wexford.
All together. When your ring a rosy as the light declines, I remember Dublin City.
The party's going great, but Joe is finding the music a little bit slow.
She's sailing for a country far away.
We used to play happy songs, lively songs.
And on board, her exiled, feeling lonely.
The party continues in the Ashling, but down on Fifth Avenue, the St Patrick's Day Parade is well underway.
Well, for me, it was busy. Busy, out every night, because they couldn't have St Patrick's Day one night, so they started a couple of weeks before. Last time I marched on the parade, Margaret Shannon, what a lady, Clare woman, she was president. Oh yes, she came in. She comes in for St. Patrick's Day. And she got a young boy, very young boy, to walk in the parade. And she brought me, and she walked, and the priest, Father Malone. And that was the front line, that the boy, the youngest and the oldest. And we had that. But I always march. It was nice. You see everybody. Most people stand on the sidewalk and they wave, see them each as they come along. But this way you see all the people on the side.
I'm 74 and my husband's 82. So going downtown, we'll get about 2 hours of the parade and then we'll get home before the rush. But it's not like a whole day, you know.
You have to get home before it gets dark.
Yes.
I used to go to it all the time. Mm. I used to march, and it's nicer to march than just to go there. It's more fun. You see more people, actually, because there'll be people on the sideline that know you, and you mightn't be able to sort them out. They'll sort you out then, because you can't see so well from when you're on the line. But it's a lovely day. It's a beautiful day in Manhattan. Make sure you go to the bathroom before you start any walk. And don't drink too much beer the night before work.
We buy the bacon from the butcher and the cabbage. And it's lovely. He's a very good butcher. I think he's from Meath. And we have another one on McLean from Leitrim. And he's very good. We get the sausages, and then Traeri has the black pudding, is very good. He gets it from Ireland. But the sausages are made here Irish style. They're pretty good. The Irish butcher there, he makes the mixture himself and sends it out to pack it. And they're pretty good, but I don't think they're as good as what used to be the old Donnelly's years ago. Whether it's the taste or not, I don't know.
So Woodlawn in New York is an Irish home from home.
You go to the store and you meet everybody, you know. That's the nice part of it. You know, you go to church. It takes you half an hour to come home, even though you're only a block away.
Well, anyway, I met a stranger in Woodlawn when I moved up here first. Yeah. And she said, "Do you live in Woodlawn?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, I'm not familiar with it. Where does it start and where does it end?" I said, "It starts with the gossip. And when the gossip ends, that's the end of Woodlawn."
It's so Irish, but it's like nothing you'd ever see in Ireland.
True. True. Well, that's from being away from home. You see, you sort of have to establish... It's like the dog walking by the fire hydrant. Leave your mark. It has changed so much in our time. You would never see a boy and a girl living together in our time. Never. Today? Huh, doesn't make a bit. Every one of them has to have a mate, regardless. Go to the bar and after a night or two. The way it is. Maybe it's good, I don't know. It's jealous, I am. Jealous, I am. Born too soon.
You got the boat, but you missed the boat.
I got the wrong boat, I think. Anyway. There's a lot of old people in Woodlawn now. Because, like, the youth are not staying there somehow. All of mine, none of them stay there. They all spread out somewhere else. So, whether it's, well...
It might last then.
I don't think it will.
Did you ever want to go back to Ireland?
I went back 9 times.
No, for good.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I get nervous. When the wallet is getting empty, I want to be back here. No, I wouldn't.
It's a different Ireland now for Joe.
Well, when I was young, the neighbours would come to the house and smoke the pipe and... talk about politics, and they'd have a great time. You don't have that anymore. They don't go there, and I miss that. I didn't see any of the neighbours when I was back.
When did you go back to Ireland for the first time?
I think I went back, I would say, maybe 20 years after I had come here. That was my first time.
You know? And you had come here at the age of?
15. Yes, yeah. It took a while because, you know, with the children young and things like that, you know.
It must be very difficult for your mother.
I suppose it was. You know, we kept in touch writing, things like that, you know. But she had been out here and she had always wanted to come back, but it never materialized for her. Yeah.
But that was many persons' story. You wouldn't have the money when you come here first.
Right. Yes, yeah. And then
some people never got the money together to go back. Right. It wasn't to be, I guess.
I used to feel kind of envious, really, you know, that because we didn't have any relatives much, you know. Mm. Whereas in Ireland you'd have big families and aunts and uncles and things like that right there.
Lonely times occasionally.
Yeah, the only thing is we made a lot of good friends, you know. It was like a substitute. But when you have these sad things, sometimes they make you stronger, you know.
You
do, like, the most time I thought of them, if there was a sad song, like Noreen Bawn or something like that, on the the radio.
She would go
like that. I'd start crying or something, you know. Yeah. But then, you know, you just go on and you say, okay, yeah, that's it, you know. It makes you a little stronger, I think.
It was a good life, all of that. It was a good life. I would never, I wouldn't exchange it for anything I had, either in Ireland or in England. I spent some time in England too. No comparison. This, to me, this is a great country. And I would say, God bless America. That's true. Yeah, I wouldn't go back to Ireland if they gave me Ireland. I wouldn't change. But that's it now.
Any point now that you would have gone back to live in Ireland if you had the chance?
Today, you mean?
Anytime.
Oh, within the period we were here? I think once you make your own family.
Yeah. Once you have
your own
the
house,
children
your own
here, because they're little Yanks then. Yeah. Not, you know, you kind of...
A trip, yes.
You've got a new loyalty as well to your new home.
Yeah, responsibilities.
And you kind of transfer your loyalties. Mm. You know, you don't ever, ever forget Ireland. It's fantastic. Mm. You know, you always have that.
Yeah.
But since you made your life here, you make the best of it, I think, you know.
And, it's nice to go home on vacation. Very nice. It is.
Yeah, it's great to see
changing Ireland.
You could love two countries. I can remember what I learned as a child growing up in Ireland, and I still go by those concepts. And here, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful country. A marvelous laws. The laws are wonderful. Here, for petty reasons, they don't agree with each other. Here, they let everybody have his own opinion and let him... He's stuck with it. That's all. That's what they take.
Back at the Aisling Centre, the Patrick's Day party continues, but it's not the only celebration.
We have to wish a very special birthday to Rose Cunningham as well tomorrow. Rose, and also married 60 years now. Congratulations and happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
For 92-year-old birthday girl Rose Cunningham, it's a good day.
I've got a request for a lovely evening, so I'll try the best I can. Okay, here we go.
Last night I had a pleasant dream. I woke up with a smile. I stood enchanted by the scene of rapture. I had on for Carrigtown before the dawn.
He got killed, the man that wrote that. He was sitting at a bar, and they came in to rob the bar, and he was a cop, and his gun was shown in the man's pocket, and they shot him first. Phil Fitzpatrick from Greek.
Well, a very happy Sunday and we'll see you the next year.